Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 33. Tasyaiva teva puridam nidakala saktya. Sanchodita prakriti dharmana atmagudam. Ambasyananta shayanad virama samadhir. Nabir abut swak kanika vatavan mahabjam. Tasya. Of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eva, certainly. Te, of you. Vapu, the cosmic body. Idam, this universe. Nijakala Shaktya, by the potent time factor. Sanchodita, agitated. Prakriti, Dharmanaha, of him, by whom the three gunas are qualities of material nature. Atmagudam, dormant in yourself. Ambasi, in the water known as the causal ocean. Ananta Shayanat, from the bed known as Ananta, another feature of yourself. Viramat Samadhe, having awakened from the Samadhi, yogic trance. Nabe, from the navel. Abut, appeared. Swakanika, from the seed. Vatavat, like the great banyan tree. Mahabjam, the great lotus of the worlds has similarly grown. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This cosmic manifestation, the material world, is also your body. This total lump of matter is agitated by your potent energy, known as Kala Shakti. And thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. You awaken from the bed of Shesha, Ananta, and from your navel a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from this seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. Purport. The three different forms of Mahavishnu, namely Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu, and Shiro Dakshayi Vishnu, who are the origin of creation and maintenance, are gradually being described. From Mahavishnu, Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu is generated, and from Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu, Karana Dakshayi Vishnu gradually expands. Thus Mahavishnu is the original cause of Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu, and from Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu comes the lotus flower from which Lord Brahma is manifested. Thus the original cause of everything is Vishnu, and consequently the cosmic manifestation is not different from Vishnu. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.10.8, wherein Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavam matak sarvam I. Pravartate, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu is an expansion of Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, who is an expansion of Sankarshan. This way, Krishna is ultimately the cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karanam. The conclusion is that both the material world and the spiritual world are considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord. We can understand that the material body is caused by the spiritual body and is therefore an expansion of the spiritual body. Thus, when one takes up spiritual activities, one's entire material body is spiritualized. Similarly, in this material world, when the Krishna consciousness movement expands, the entire world, material world, becomes spiritualized. As long as we do not realize this, we live in this material world. But when we are fully Krishna conscious, we live not in the material world, but in the spiritual world. Tasyaiva teva purusantam nidakala saktya prasanchodita prakriti dharmana atmagudam ambasyananta shayanad viramat samadhir nabirabhusani swakanika vatavan mahabjam. The cosmic manifestation of the material world is also your body. This total lump of matter is agitated by your potent energy known as Kala Shakti, Shakti. And thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. You awaken from the bed of Ashesha, Ananta, and from your navel a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from the seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. Prahlada Maharaj is offering prayers, just as practically all the great devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam offer prayers. Whether it's Dhruva Maharaj, or Krura, or Prithu, every great devotee has the capacity to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even Lord Shiva offers prayers. And we find even the gopis, when they offer their prayers, the glorification of Krishna, they don't simply talk about Radha and Krishna and the groves of Vrindavan. Matter of fact, we don't find the gopis talking about Radha and Krishna and the gopis and the groves of Vrindavan. What we find them talking about is the clouds flying over or floating over the head of Lord Krishna and Balaram, and protecting them from the sun. And instead of showering rain on Krishna and Balaram, they shower flowers. We find that the trees, they talk about the trees of Vrindavan, how they're bending down with their fruits and offering respects to Balaram and Krishna. And how the peacocks are dancing with Krishna, and how the demigods in heaven are flying overhead with their airplanes with their beloved wives, and how they become stunned when they hear the vibrations of Krishna's flute. There's, even in the most intimate parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't find Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. Even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is having his ecstatic pastimes, remembering Radha and Krishna, still they're quite innocent. They're having a picnic, or Krishna is in the garden and he appears before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is running after Govardhan, and when he gets there, he gets the chance to pick flowers for Radha and Krishna, who are entering into a cave. So, this idea that spiritual life is something about Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan, and that finally when we get a chance to become elevated, we'll actually hear about these pastimes. In the meantime, we're just hearing about some animals, like some cows in Vrindavan, or here, the Sahajis in Vrindavan, the Babajis in Vrindavan. We'll wonder why these people are wasting time hearing about Garbhadakshay Vishnu. My God. How boring. What to speak of Sharadakshay Vishnu? He's in every atom and he doesn't do anything. He just sits there. So they don't understand that Krishna in any of his incarnations is equally lovable and ecstatic. And for the conditioned souls, it's actually more important, according to the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you hear about Krishna's pastimes in the external energy than to hear about Krishna's pastimes in the internal energy. But because we're material, those who are conditioned by material life think, or they judge things according to their mundane conceptions of things, they think conjugal love of Radha and Krishna is more relishable than simply creation by the three avatar, Guna avatars, or the three Purusha avatars. So this is their materialistic conception of life. They don't know what spiritual is, and therefore they don't understand that for the conditioned soul, he has a better opportunity to become released from material energy and enter into the spiritual energy by hearing about Krishna's pastimes in the external energy and see how we can properly work according to what our present circumstances are in Krishna consciousness, rather than to imagine that we were on an elevated platform where we can work on the spiritual platform. Prabhupada used to say, first deserve and then desire. There, as we heard before, I think most of you have heard, that in Los Angeles, there was... Hey! Welcome. There is two clubs. There was the Gopi Bhava clubs, they called them. Actually, they weren't called Gopi Bhava clubs, but they were nicknamed the Gopi Bhava clubs. And they had a male club and they had a female club. And they used to meet and they'd simply look through Prabhupada's books and discover what Prabhupada said about Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And they just discussed these things. So they thought they were quite advanced. When Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, it was mentioned to him about that. And his leader, he was very concerned. First thing he asked whether the men were wearing saris yet in Vrindavan. You have a class of people called there are different types of sahajiyas. One of them is called, what do they call those who dress as women? There's the bowls, the owls, the sakibekis, they're called. Sakibekis. They think that when I dress like a gopi, Krishna will become attracted to me. So they put on makeup and they dress in saris. And, oh, Krishna. And they pretend that they're gopis. So Prabhupada asked whether they were wearing saris yet. I think Prabhupada was being sarcastic. But in any case, they weren't wearing saris yet. And then Ramaswara Prabhu was giving part with their arguments why it was so nice. He said that we don't go outside of your books, Prabhupada. We're only studying your books. And you say in your books that if you hear these pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, then gradually your heart will become purified. You'll come to the perfectional stage. And Prabhupada's response was, if you're eligible to hear the pastimes. Otherwise, if you're not eligible to hear these pastimes, then instead of becoming purified, you'll become putrefied. Putrefied means to become degraded. And Prabhupada said, if this goes on, then our preaching will stop. Of course, in some parts of our world, in ISKCON, the preaching has stopped. Or is not going on so dramatically, so enthusiastically, or whatever, as it used to be. Dynamically, not as dynamically as it used to. So this can only be caused by our introducing of different conceptions which discourage us, which more or less take away some of our enthusiasm. Because previously the devotees weren't necessarily more advanced than the devotees are now, but they had faith in the process. And they had faith in the preaching, and they were quite enthusiastic to preach, and the movement expanded. So it's a question of proper understanding what our subject matter is. That if we think that our life and spiritual life will become in between the Maha Kirtans, or what do they call those? The kirtan melas. Our spiritual life is between, is at the kirtan melas, and in between we have nothing to do. We're just trying to survive. Then they're just misunderstanding, because we're in Krishna's energy. It's not that when we come to Krishna conscious kirtan mela, which is very nice, it's a great opportunity to hear and chant together, but it's not that that's the only opportunity. And when we leave there, then we're in the ocean material existence. No, we're in the spiritual world. It's just a question of our understanding and acting accordingly. And if we don't understand the importance of Krishna's lila and the external energy and how we should get out of the external energy, not once in a while. We have to be careful wherever we are at any time and understand how to serve Krishna under those circumstances. Now, of course, we had some trouble with our leadership and therefore people became discouraged in the preaching because Prabhupada especially established the leaders who established the preaching, and therefore when the leaders had some difficulty, at least some of them, then the devotees became discouraged that why should we follow the leaders? They were telling us to go engage in so many austerities for the preaching, and they themselves weren't really up to the standard. So why should we go through all this austerity if at the end we become just like them and we leave anyhow? If they went through austerity and became big leaders and then they left Krishna consciousness, why should we bother? Go through the same process, become big leaders, and then leave like they did. Better leave right away. I go through the austerity, trying to become someone big and then fall down. Because there's a misunderstanding on every level that everyone has an opportunity to perfect their lives, whatever they're doing, whatever service they have, if they act accordingly to the spiritual energy. If they act in the spiritual energy and understand how the material nature has been set up to trick us into believing that we're made out of matter and that there is no further goal in life other than to gratify the senses. Material nature has been set up to trick us like that. And unless we understand that, then we get tricked all the time. And Maya will always present us with some excuse why we should not take Krishna consciousness seriously, why we should not go through austerity. We'll always point out the worst possible examples for us so we can follow the worst possible example. Maya will never say, look at that good example, please follow it. Maya will never say that to us. Maya will say, no, it's all material, it's all illusion. Even the big leaders, they fall down. Why should you? You're just a little guy. Why shouldn't you just fall down? Fall down. Okay, thank you, Maya. Good excuse. I think I'll fall down. I fell down. Well, why'd you fall down? Well, because I'm a little guy. All the big guys fell down. Why shouldn't the little guys fall down also? Why look at me? Look at the big guys. Ask them why they fell down. So we should study these prayers of Prahlad Maharaj carefully, try to understand our position in the external energy, and for our benefit, try to become attached to the spiritual energy and not become so easily allured by the influence of the external energy, thinking that I have a good excuse. That my service is to be in Maya. That's my constitutional position, is to be in Maya, and no one should blame me for it, because at least I'm trying to become a devotee, so I'm in good Maya. Maya will always tell us, don't worry, you know, you're in a good country, food's good, you have a place to sleep, your next life will probably be in heaven, you'll meet some nice soulmate there, don't worry about everything, don't take it too seriously, no one else takes it seriously. You don't want to discourage everyone by trying to become too outstanding. So Maya will always, yoga's chalati manasa. Maya's job is to trick us, but it's not our service to get tricked by Maya. Our service is to understand how the illusory energy is working, how the material energy is working, how time is working, how Kala is working, how the three modes are working, how karma is working. So we can avoid becoming influenced by these things, and instead act in Krishna consciousness. for our own benefit and ultimately for the benefit of others too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna. Maharshi mentioned that fall down of the leadership and senior Vaishnavas. How can we as a neophytes survive in that, because in such a situation that our examples, which are there to inspire us and to help us in devotional service, and we say, you know, that association of advanced devotees is crucial in our spiritual development. How can then devotee progress?
Well, it's not that every leader fell down. I mean, there's hundreds of Prabhupada's disciples still actively engaged in Krishna service. Just that sometimes, because, well, the main problem was, or is sometimes, is that we, after Prabhupada left, they took positions which were just too, way beyond their ability to actually properly manage, because they didn't understand properly the philosophy. And therefore, they set an example for us, for our benefit, of how we should be more careful in accepting, you know, praise, adoration, material facilities, association with women unrestrictedly, etc. Imagining ourselves to be so exalted, they set a good example for us what not to follow. So they were very helpful. And there were others who were took a more humble position, understood more clearly what their actual situation was, and they acted accordingly, and they have advanced more. So there's even better examples for us now to follow than there were before.
Every devotee will have opportunity to associate with Prabhupada disciples, because majority are...
It's not a question of Prabhupada disciples. All of us, whoever is following Prabhupada's instruction, is a Prabhupada disciple in that sense. Now, they may not be able to take initiation according to our current rules, but they're certainly Prabhupada's disciples, in the real sense of the term of being a Shiksha disciple. That's what a real disciple is. Now that they just get initiated and they don't follow anymore.
So meaning the reading Prabhupada books and listening to Prabhupada's lecture, or?
Yeah, even when we associate with Prabhupada's followers, we're associating with those who are following Prabhupada's instructions and manifesting his instructions. It's not that we're associated with the souls and the bodies. When we're associating with devotees, we're associating with those who are manifesting Prabhupada's instructions, or the instructions coming to the succession. And Prabhupada is still here in the form of his deity. If we become eligible, we'll be able to talk to him. Because we could also talk to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He may want to talk to us, but we're a little deaf. We can't hear anything. We can't hear the Bhagavad Gita, nor can we hear the deities, nor can we hear Prabhupada. Although they'd like to talk to us. They are trying to talk to us. These Krishnas talking outside in the form of his devotees, his representatives, and in terms of the scriptures, he's talking to us. We just aren't realizing that's all. So we have so much association with advanced devotees. We just don't appreciate it enough, that's all. How when we read Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada and Krishna are both talking to us. We see the deities. We're getting direct association with the Supreme Personality of God and his associates. We worship Prabhupada, he's actually there. We just don't appreciate it enough, that's all. So our job is to help us appreciate it. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.